Yeah. All right, great. Well, what can I tell you? It is a wonderful blessing that I have today. Because when you have the opportunity to open the Bible, and you can see what God is going to give you from the Bible, it is wonderful that God is going to give us everything that we have here. And sometimes we can have the knowledge about something, but I want to tell you, it is just not about the knowledge that you can have. It is about how you can apply that knowledge in your life. Because that is Christianity. Amen? Christianity is not just, I am a Christian, well, good for you. Are you exercising that? Are you doing what God told you to do? Are you following God and say, God, I'm going to do your will? Because I know that is the best life that I can have. So, today we are going to be talking about David. And thank you for that introduction. And as you can notice, my English is not 100% good. So, I don't have subtitles. So, I'm sorry for that. You cannot read the subtitles. But I will tell you, if you have your Bible with you, I hope that you can follow every single scripture, or I hope that you can write those down and you can read those later, because what I'm going to talk about, it is about David, and there is a lot to say about David. And my middle name is David. And we have some Davids here. We have Dave Larson, and I don't know. No way. Also, many of you know my father-in-law, Jack Cape, right? Well, he is my favorite father-in-law. And I need to tell you that because... Okay, so let's begin with this. And again, we are going to be talking about David. And David, it is one of the most fascinated characters in the Bible. As you can see. And this, again, there is a lot to say about David. And I was asking how much time I have, and someone told me, just do it. So I hope that you are ready for the next 3 hours that we are going to spend here today. Amen? Yeah. Okay, good. I like that energy. Okay, so as you see, David, one of the most interesting story about David is when he is fighting with Goliath, right? And you can see the little shepherd fighting against this huge guy, and everyone was afraid. We are going to talk about that. And also we are going to define his name, okay? So let's begin with this. Is that working? All right. Okay, so let me tell you some things about David. And I hope that you know this already, because I am talking with people that has a lot of knowledge. Amen? Good. So we need to skip this one, this slide. So David, again, interesting character in the Bible. So we can spend like many days talking about David. But I'm going to point out just 3 events in his life, okay? And this is something that you can know about him. This is working. Maybe you cannot even see the red light over there, right? Can you see this light? Can you see it there? Not there. Okay. Well. Okay, so when we're talking about David, this is something that you need to know, and also his name. And his name is Beloved. And that is the root of his name, Beloved. And everything that you see in the Hebrew is going to tell you that this is related with love. So, David is Beloved. Okay? And the pronunciation in Hebrew is David. That is my name, David, not David. So I got the right pronunciation of my name. Not like David over there. Okay, so as you can notice, it is related with beloved or love. And that is so interesting because David was one of those favorite characters in the Bible that God has a special relationship with him. Not because he was great and amazing, because he was following God. Do you remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. And that is so beautiful that David is talking about that the Lord is his shepherd. And he can walk through the valley of shadow, and he's not going to fear evil because what? God is, or the Lord is with him. And every time that I read that Psalm, Psalm 23, I realize that even if I have difficulties, even if I have trials and suffering and pain and sorrow, whatever it is, I know that the Lord is with me. I know He is in front of me, leading me, and say, I can trust in You, God, because You are with me. And those psalms are beautiful. And David wrote one of those, some, a lot of those. Okay, so you got the idea, right? That his name is Love. Or Beloved. And also, sometimes, some people say that his name is also Friend. But Beloved is the most accurate meaning of his name. So, David is Beloved. Okay, let's keep going with this. So, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, God told Jesus, do you remember this? This is my beloved son. And that is so interesting because when you see God telling Jesus, this is my beloved, and you will see later all the prophecies concerning to Jesus, that he is the descendant of David, and he is going to be in the throne, he is going to be the king. Well, yeah, he is the beloved, he is the David. He is David. So, I hope that you can have this idea or mindset that every one of us can be a David. Every one of us can be beloved by God. And I think we are beloved by God. You remember John 3:16? Who can tell that? Who can say that? Thank you. Oh, I'm glad that you know that verse. Okay, so that is a beautiful verse in the scriptures. And what it's saying about it is that God loved the world, each one of us. And that is huge because I am not a perfect guy. I am not holy. I am an unrighteous person, and God loves me. And He sent His Son to die for me. And I hope that you can see that that is huge, huge when you think about it. That the Father sent His Son, and He died for me. And I am nobody. But later God told me, you are beloved. I love you so much that I can send my son and he will die for you. Okay, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So you see the connection between David and Jesus. And also, not just between David and Jesus, but also us. That again, we can be beloved. So we are going to see three events in the life of David. That's some kind of introduction. I spent like 40 minutes in that. Okay, so the first one, you remember do you remember that David is a man after what? God's own heart. And this is, for me, I don't know about you, but this is a beautiful description about someone in the Bible. What God can tell about you? Oh, this is David. This is my beloved. This is a man after my own heart. He is going to do my will. So I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So you see here why David is a man after God's own heart. And we have the answer here. Because he is going to do what? My will. So you see that you can be in the same road, in the same area. If you do God's will, you can be a woman or a man after what? God's own heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks what? The heart. And I need to tell you this, because this is something interesting for me, and also something that is beautiful at the same time, that God looks the heart. And that is beautiful, that God is looking my heart, but also that is scary. Do you know why? Because God knows everything that I am doing. And I cannot tell God, oh no, no, God, I am a faithful servant. Well, I know you. I know your heart. So you cannot tell me a lie. I know you. So you see that it's beautiful that God is looking my heart, but it's also scary. Because God knows every single detail in my life. I can tell people that I am the most wonderful Christian, but what about God? God knows. God knows. And when you think about hypocrites, how many times do you hear that someone do not want to come to service or do not want to come to God or to Jesus because there is a lot of hypocrites in the church? And they have that excuse. Well, I don't want to go because I know there are a lot of hypocrites in the church. And let me say this. Again, Christianity is not about what you are saying. Christianity is about what you do. And sometimes it's not even necessary to tell someone that you are a Christian because they can see that you are one because of your behavior. And they see that you are a different person when they see you. Well, I am amazed that you are someone that is not like the rest. And that's Christianity again. And many people do not want to come to church because there is a lot of hypocrites. And again, God looks what? The heart. The heart. He knows. He knows. So God knows what is in our heart. And also, God knows if we are earnestly seeking after Him. Also, God knows if we are trying to be His servant. Also, God knows if we are rebellious against Him or if we are just struggling with human weakness. Again, God knows. If you want to be a woman or a man after His heart, you know what? You need to be aware of your weaknesses. And you need to be aware that God is always there to forgive you, and you are asking for repentance. Every time that God is available to say, I forgive you. But depend on what? In my heart. In my heart. Because God knows my heart. Also, God knows who are sitting in the pew as hypocrites. And I hope that you are not one of them. I cannot read your heart, right? I cannot know what's in your heart. I cannot know what you are thinking. But I can know for sure that God knows your heart. And He knows that if you are worshiping Him because you want to serve Him, because you love Him, because you are grateful because He did a lot for you. Not just because another Sunday, I have to do it. I have to go. I have to take the Lord's Supper. I have to pray. You don't have to, right? We are not forcing people to be Christians. Are we? Are we forcing people to be Christians? No. Nobody's forcing you to be a Christian. So you don't have to do those things. And you are doing those things because you are grateful. Are you grateful because God did a lot for you and He is still doing a lot for you? And He will do a lot for you in the future. So you see that a man after God's own heart is someone who is doing His will. And also, you cannot tell God, you know, because I am doing all of these things and eternal, many different things, I can tell God, well, I am a good Christian. Do you remember the Pharisees? How many things that they were doing? And they were saying, wow, we are the best religious people among the Jewish people. We are the best. And God told them what? Hypocrites. Because you are cleaning what? The outside and not the inside. Do you see that? It's not about how good looking you are in the outside. It is about the heart. It's about the heart. And I am glad that God is not looking my appearance. I am glad that God is looking my heart. So guys, examining the heart of each of us. Okay, so that is something about David. But also, I want to tell you this. Some people will say, what about when David sinned with Bathsheba? How can be a man after God's own heart when he is, you know, doing all those evil things? Well, I have an answer for you. Are you perfect? Can you raise your hand and say, I am? We are not perfect. And that doesn't mean that you cannot be a man or a woman after God's own heart. You remember David in Psalm 51 when he was saying, I sin against the Lord and the Lord only. He was crying. He was in deep sorrow. Because he knew that he was doing and he did something terrible. This is people after God's own heart. When they understand, when they recognize that I am not perfect, but I have God in my side. He is there and He can forgive me when I am falling short of His glory. When I am doing terrible things, when I am doing evil things, I hope that I have a heart that is with repentance and crying because I am doing something that is evil. That is David. He was not perfect like any of us. But he was looking that forgiveness from God after his sin. So when we talk about that, we think about grace and mercy. And that is something interesting, because when people think about that, the church is full of hypocrites, and when we are telling them, no, we are not perfect people, we make mistakes. Amen? We make mistakes. Sometimes those mistakes are terrible, sometimes are not. but we make mistakes. And sometimes we are expecting that the other people can, you know, can be an example, and they can be really good, and they can be a really great Christian. And sometimes we're expecting that from other people. They need to be examples. But what about me? Right? I need to be an example for others. And remember that God is looking in my heart. And sometimes when the preacher is preaching, sometimes people think, oh, the preacher is talking with that person. I hope that person is listening to what the preacher is saying, because this is for that person. No, right? God is talking with who? With me. With me first. I need to change in many areas. And I need to be a man after God's own heart. Okay, following this, how tired do we get from being judged by our appearance? I am not really handsome. I am not really tall. I am not really, you know, with a lot of muscles. Whatever it is. So again, I am glad that God is looking what? My heart. My heart. And remember that the new law, the new covenant is written where? In my heart. It's written in the heart, the new law. I am serving God from my heart. And we live in a culture that is all about appearances. Image is everything. But we don't have a God who cares about such things. We have a God who is willing to look to my heart. And also, do not focus on what people see, focus on what God sees. Amen? Focus on the things in your heart that God sees happening that no one else sees. And I hope that you can see that. Because the people around me, they are not going to save me. Who's the only one who is going to save me? God. God. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, so the next event, I have 5 minutes for the next 2 points. So, again, this is another story, and this is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I know that many of you, maybe all of you, know this story, David and Goliath. Who do not know this story? Great, great. Because we are not going to read the whole chapter. So, you know that he was a huge man. And David was a little man, a shepherd. When you see that something that huge and that big, you don't want to fight against that kind of guy. Right? But David, he's not worried about it. Why? Because God is with him. He is a man after God's own heart, and he knows that he can trust in God. He knows that God is going to give him what? The victory. It's not my victory. It's not because I am a shepherd. It's because of God. He will fight for us. And again, don't be afraid of every circumstance in your life. Why? Because God is with us. So the people are soldiers. They know how to fight. They know how to use a sword. They are soldiers for many years. But what? They are afraid. They are afraid. And I know why they are afraid. Because they are not trusting in who? In God. And I know why David is not afraid. Because David is trusting in God. And he is a man after God's own heart. And he is a beloved. So here we have the whole army, and yes, they are afraid. So remember that the battle is the Lord. And I have this question for you, because I think that is interesting for me. Why David took five stones? I have the answer. But do you know why? For 20 points. No, nobody? Nobody wants the 20 points? Well, I know. I know why. I will give you the answer. Do you want the answer? I don't know. I don't know. But I know this, that we must to be prepared for any other giant. And maybe David was thinking, maybe I'm going to kill this guy, but another soldier is going to come, or maybe another giant is going to come, so I need to be what? Ready. And sometimes we think that Satan is going to do something against us just one time. And no, right? First Peter is saying that Satan is like a roaring lion, right? Looking for someone, what? To devour. Satan is looking for someone. Doesn't matter if you are the preacher, doesn't matter if you are one of the elders, doesn't matter if you are a Christian for the last week, doesn't matter if you are a Christian for the last 20, 30 years, Satan is looking for someone. Maybe it's you today. He's looking for someone to devour. And he's trying that every single day. Every single day. Then you can give up your faith. And Satan is going to be really happy because you are going with him where? Hell. To the hell. And God is saying, I hope that that person can come with me to that place. So this is David, and this is the second time. So who is your Goliath in your life? Maybe each person has his her own personal Goliath facing them each day. And maybe it's worry, bad habits, family problems, fear, debt, money problems, issues dealing with sex. I don't know what is your giant. But how can you conquer that? How can you be victorious? How can you defeat your giant? Well, with the first point, if you're a man after God's own heart, you're supposed to do His will, right? And when you are doing His will, guess what? You are not doing Satan's will. Because you submit to God according to James, and you resist the devil. If you are submitting to the devil, you are resisting who? God. So, let me ask you, when it comes to your personal Goliath, are you winning? Are you winning the fight? In John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for everyone born of God overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Our faith. Okay, the last one. I'm looking my watch. Okay. And this is in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And again, I think that you all of you know this event. When God told David that his kingdom will never be destroyed. Do you remember that event? And God promised to David something amazing. And here I am, living in a house. This is David in verse 2 in chapter 7, 2 Samuel. And David is saying, here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remained in a tent. And he is thinking, wow, I have a beautiful house, a huge house, and I am really well, and God is living in a tent. So, I'm going to build a house for God. I'm going to do something. And this is something funny for me, because God told him, are you the one who should build me a house? Are you going to do that? I don't need a house. Do you think that God needs a house? Do you think that God needs this place? We need it, but not God. What is the prayer that God is always looking for? The heart again. My heart is the dwelling place of God. So, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Do you think that we can build a place for God? Do you think that we can have a huge building and God is going to be happy with that? No, the point is, if I am building my heart, if I am building the church. So, did God ever speak to any of the judges or leaders of Israel asking why they have not built him a cedar house? And the answer is no. So, God does not care what is built for him. Amen? God does not glorify through physical building, and God has never asked for a physical building, and is not glorified through building made by human hands. And sometimes we give that impression. And some people think that, oh, God is there, in that place, in that building, in that church. And every single structure with a cross on the top, they think it is a church. God is in this place. Do you know why? Do you know why God is in this place? Because you are here. That is why. And when you leave this place, God is there with you. When you are working, God is there with you. When you are in your house, God is there with you. God is living in you. And everything that you do is because God is doing it with you. So, in verse 11, moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. this is a little funny. Because David is saying, God, you know what? I'm going to build a house for you. And God, no, I'm going to do that for you. When you know, God, this is not a competition. We're not going to compete here. And God is saying, no, I want to do that. And you know why? Because when we are giving everything for God and to God, God is willing to say, well, I will do more for these people. And He is always willing to do more for us. Because we know that God is not a taker. God is a giver. He wants to give. We are almost in the end. I hope that you are okay with that. The Lord will raise up David's offspring, and the Lord will establish His kingdom, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And that is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that God told David that your descendant, I will build a kingdom for him, and his kingdom will never, never be destroyed. And that is beautiful, because we know that that kingdom is what? The church. You and me. He will build a house for the name of the Lord, and the throne of His kingdom will be established forever. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we are the temple of the living God, and we are being built up into a spiritual house for the Lord. And the next one. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And, you see that? And we are what? His house. You see that God is dwelling in my heart? And when God is dwelling in my heart, I can be a beloved. God is saying, I love this person. I love this David. Because he is following me. She is following me. She's doing my will. He's doing my will. I will build a better house for them. And that is my heart. So, in the end, conclusion. We know that David is beloved. And we just saw three events in his life. Just three. There is more and many lessons that we can learn from David. A lot of different applications from David that we can learn. So he was a man after God's own heart, and later we see that David and Goliath, that he was victorious because he was trusting in God. And later we saw the covenant with David. So let me leave with this last verse or last scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. I love this one. Therefore, be imitators of God. As what? As beloved children. Be imitators of God. And that is beautiful. Do you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? Be imitators of God as beloved children. And thank you for your time. And thank you for the opportunity that you gave me. Thank you to Chris and the others. And I hope that I can see you in the future. If not here, maybe over there. Amen. Again, thank you and God bless you.